This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, hello there, Mike. How you doing?
Well, you know, it's 71 degrees outside. And,
beautiful.
It is, what, the 3rd of November?
Yeah. How about that?
I'm almost ready to believe in global warming.
Almost.
Not quite. But anyway, thank you for listening to the show today. And this is about information on your landscape, your yard, your shrubs, trees, all that kind of stuff, and if you lawns even. And if you have a question concerning your landscape or a shrub or a tree, you may call and ask that question, and I'll get you right on the air. And the number is 673-4464, 673-4464. So questions are good, and I answer all of them. And I'll answer them truthfully. What do you think of that? I won't run you around the mulberry bush. Anyway, last week I talked about the beauty of the trees that with our fall colors and all that. And in 1 week's time, that beauty has diminished by at least 50%. I mean, most of them are on the ground now.
Yep.
So you can drive by and look at them on the ground, on the street, and say, oh, yeah, those are pretty leaves. And then you look up in the tree, and there's like, you know, a third of them still left on some trees. Some trees are still full. Depends on the variety. But the vast majority of the trees are already dropping their leaves.
And or on the cars.
Yeah, on the cars, you know. But we get a good rainstorm and some wind and things like that by next week.
We might get that tonight.
I would hope so, because it's really dry and hot out there. But the leaves are beautiful, and they're almost done, and but they're still hanging around a little bit, and like I say, in another week or so, there will be probably time to turn them into compost in your backyard, if you do compost, if you are a serious gardener, that is. And then if you rake them into piles, and you can just put them in the corner of your yard, and they'll decompose for you. In another year, they're beautiful garden soil that you can plant anything in and have great success. And because the leaves are a great natural food for gardens and landscapes, because that's where all the nutrition from the tree goes. It goes into the growth. It grows into the leaves. So consequently, they're chock full of all the vitamins and goodies that the tree roots or the shrub roots sent up to make those leaves during the spring and the summer. And, you know, they pump it in there all the time. It's a constant thing. And then, bingo, it gets cold, it gets dark, and all that kind of stuff. And I don't mind the cold. And, you know, this is a little afterthought. I don't mind the cold, and I don't mind the rain. But you know what I hate? It's dark all the time. I get up it's dark, and it's dark for an hour out. You know,
it's dark when you go home, almost, or will
well,
be.
Well, it's getting there. Yeah. This is daylight savings time thing. I don't know when that happens.
I think it's the 7th.
Is it? Sometime quick.
Yeah.
So let's see. It'll be lighter in the morning and darker at night. Is that how it? Yeah.
I believe so.
Oh, good. I'm really looking forward to that.
Me too, I tell you.
Yeah. But if you don't make a compost pile, the alternative is to toss them into the garbage can or burn them, but it's your choice. And if you like to burn leaves, hey, I understand that.
Burn them, baby.
I've burned them a few times myself. I've never thrown them in the garbage, though. I either use them for compost or even mulch. You know, just take a bunch of leaves and throw them around a tree or something, and they'll decompose right there over the winter and feed the soil, et cetera.
Nice.
And it's good to go.
And you don't have to do a thing.
No, you don't have to do a thing except look at them. And once the tree or shrub is bare, here's where I'm going today.
Okay.
You can fully see the branching structure and make a determination on pruning. You know, does this plant need pruning? Is it a shrub or a tree? It doesn't matter, but you can see the branching structure, and you can see that, are there any dead branches in there? Because they're often discolored. They don't look vibrant at all. They might have a gray, dead-looking appearance.
Well, they look sick.
Yeah, they look sick, and those are the ones that you want to eliminate just in case there's some kind of a disease or a fungus mm-hmm. or something attacking them. Get rid of those. Those are the first things you want to prune. Just cut them out. Don't sweat it. And then you look at it and say, are there a bunch of crowded branches? Are there way too many branches and little tiny branches? Well, thin them out. Take about 50% of them out and open up that tree or that shrub so that next year it can grow better. It'll look better as soon as the leaves come back on. And then you look at your tree or the shrub and say, well, let's see, any crooked or misshapen branches or branches that are kind of hanging down that I don't like, eliminate them. Get them out of there. Get them, just make your tree, your shrub, whatever, make it look good. Now, are your shrubs too tall? Are they too wide? Well, cut them back and shape them up like you want them. You won't hurt them. And if push comes to shove, dig them out or cut them down and to ground level and get rid of them. If you can't make a decision and it looks like, that shrub is not looking so hot, or if it's a small tree, mm-hmm. It's struggled for 2 years now, and maybe it's time to get another one in the spring or something like that. Cut it out. Dig out the roots.
That's my dad's method. Cut it down.
Yeah, well, your dad was notorious for these kinds of things.
I know he was.
You've told me many, many stories about your dad and his landscaping expertise.
His abilities?
Oh, gosh. But don't leave anything that is on the way out. Get rid of it now. Cut them down and prepare for something. If you want to put something else back in there, dig out the old roots if it's possible, just get on the burn pile or something. But you don't want anything that might be diseased to live in the ground and spread to other other shrubs or other trees over the winter. And some of these fungi will do that kind of thing. Now, do you have any fruit trees in your yard? I've spoken about this before, but I'm going to shoot you again. Are they productive? Have they been productive, or only have little small fruits that aren't worth eating? Well, are there too many little non-productive branches in it? Eliminate them. Is the fruit tree too tall? So cut it down so you won't need a ladder to get up there and do anything, or a shorter ladder. You can get a shorter ladder to do the job. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have a 20-footer. And for instance, if you got a fruit tree in your yard, you don't want a 20-foot ladder to go up and pick the fruit on the top, because it's dangerous. Number one, a 20-foot fall to the ground will do some damage to the body. Yes, it will. Mm-hmm. But again, if there's too many small branches, those little tiny twiggy branches where it seems like there's like 14,000 of them everywhere, get rid of them. Just do a number and eliminate them, because all they do is use energy from the tree, and they produce nothing but leaves and more little dinky branches. So take them out. And it's kind of interesting. We had a pruning job here this week. For a lady, and she had, I think, six fruit trees, something like that, and a whole bunch of shrubs in her yard, and she wanted us just to go through and bring them into bring them in back to life, if you will, and trim them up. They were overgrown, and this lady's 91 years old, so she wasn't going to get out there with a chainsaw and a ladder or anything.
No,
like that.
I hope not.
But anyway, there was there was one apple, a cherry, a plum, and I can't remember what the other one was, but maybe it was another apple. But this one apple, somebody had pruned it in the past. There was some evidence of somebody cutting on this thing, and that one tree took me longer than the other two or three trees that I pruned. And simply because it had about a zillion of those little scrawny, stinky little twigs that don't produce anything, because when the person prior had pruned it didn't do it correctly. So consequently, you get all this flush of growth, and they're non-productive type of little branches. Mm-hmm. Maybe in 5 years, you know, they might develop some fruit or be have the ability to carry the fruit. So that's that took me a long time because I eliminated all those and left the good bearing branches and shortened them up so that next year, and I shortened the tree about, you know, 4 or 5 feet as well, but it was still a good eight and a half, maybe 9 feet tall when I was done. But you know, yeah, I had to get rid of all that or it wasn't going to work. And that's the kind of attitude you have to have when when you're pruning those fruit trees. And like I say, if you haven't pruned your trees before, if you have some fruit trees in your yard and you don't know how, like I say, drive around to some of the commercial orchards like Cruz Farms or Brosai Orchards, and there's a few others that I don't know how visible they are, but those two are very visible from the road, and you can see how drastically they actually prune their trees. Do we have a call?
We do.
Okay.
We do have a call. Hi, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hello?
Yes, I have a problem with my rhododendron.
Okay, you have a problem with your rhododendron?
Yeah, I've got several, and most of them against the house are doing fine, but I have three of them that are kind of up on a hill, and what I'm afraid of is they went from not enough water early in the summer to too much water. So is there a way to save them? They look pretty sickly right now.
What was your watering schedule like during the summer? How often did you water them?
Well, it went, like I said, it went from, I'm afraid it was too, it went from too little, like maybe once a week, to, I think a friend of mine watered them too much. I think he saturated them.
Yeah.
Too much.
Well, once a week is good.
Okay.
Yeah, but more than that is detrimental to the roadies. And what you can do is cut them back. I don't know how large they are, but say cut them back at least 30%, and let them heal up and see how well they do next spring.
Should I put any type of food on them?
No, not now. They need to just recuperate and just don't force anything yet. You can fertilize them, say, in end of February, first of March, right before, you know, the new growth begins to appear.
Sounds good. Yeah, that's probably what happened, because the other ones are on a sprinkling system and they're doing great.
Yeah. Okay.
Just remember
that too much water or too much fertilizer is going to be more detrimental than keeping the water off them, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call.
Thank you. Sound like he was in one of those gusty winds we should have tonight.
I know. Is that what they're predicting?
Yeah, up to 20 miles per hour.
Oh, good. All the leaves will be blown all over the country.
That's right. We'll be right back with more of Mike Winters' Lawn and Garden Show in a couple. News Radio 1240 KQAM.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Yes, indeed. We're back with Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show.
Yeah, and I'm talking about pruning today. And the reason I'm talking about pruning today is because you can actually see the structure of your shrub or your tree, because most of the leaves are now missing. And as a consequence, you can see, what do I take out? What do I eliminate? What do I what's non-productive or what's good, or is there a broken branch? And usually when the leaves are all over it, you can't tell those things or unless you really look and look and look. So
you got to know what you're looking for.
You got to know what you're looking for. But in my last segment, I was talking about if you needed some sort of visual about what proper pruning on fruit trees is, you can go by, like I say, Brosai Orchards or Cruz or something like that and see how they do it. They do it very severely, but they're in the business and they know that that's going to be very productive in the following spring. We got a call?
We do have a call. Okay. Hi, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, Mike. I have a question about a plum tree that I inherited. It's about 60 feet high.
Wow.
What kind of tree?
Plum.
It's a plum tree.
Oh, plum. It's, I thought you said palm tree. I thought, wow.
I thought you said porno tree at first.
P-L-U-M. And the plums are really good at the lower hanging branches.
Uh-huh.
But I want to pollard it this year because it's not been taken care of for, I don't know, 40 years.
Uh-huh.
So if I pollard it, it has all these suckers, and last year it got a really good cut. But now I have all those suckers coming out of the tree. So what do you think about pollarding? I have 1, 2, 3, 4, a good 5 healthy branches that are just producing all of these branches and just getting taller, and I really want to just bring it down so I can access the plums.
Well, yeah, bring it down so it's workable, so you don't have to get a 20-foot ladder to get your fruit. And all the little suckers and sprouts, cut them off because we don't want...
Cut them off, okay.
Yeah, we don't want any energy from the root system to go to those because it'll be a mess if you don't. But those good branches that you have, prune those, you know, probably 30% from the top, and you will strengthen the branching pattern, and you will be amazed at how much fruit that you actually get.
Okay.
And how old are these trees, would you say?
This plum tree is probably, the house was built in 1940.
Oh, my gosh.
And it looks that old. It really does. But it, like I said, it's pretty healthy. And I really want the fruit. The plums are just extraordinarily yummy.
Yeah, okay. Well.
But I don't get a whole lot of them because,
yeah,
you know, the tree just needs to be pollarded. Like, yeah. I just want to pollard it. So.
Okay. I think that's a good idea. And get rid of any of the, like I say, small twiggy stuff. Eliminate those so that the energy of the tree goes into the larger branches and produces quality fruit for you.
Okay. And what is this a good time of year? It hasn't lost all of its leaves yet.
Well, it's okay now, but you know, you might wait another month. And
okay.
Know,
and then should I feed it afterward, or I'm afraid I'm going to kill it. I don't
know.
Oh,
you can't kill a plum. They don't die, okay. No matter what you do. You can cut them off at the
really?
Ground and they grow.
Okay.
But if you got some larger, if you got some larger branches, and after a cut, there's a tree seal, which is like a black tar that you can paint over it, and that will promote healing.
Okay, but don't give it any fertilizer.
Pardon me now?
Don't give it any fertilizer, after?
Not until like the 1st of March, end of February,
okay.
1st of March. That way it takes about a month for the fertilizer to get down into the root systems. So by April 1st, the energy from the tree, the root system is awake and it's pushing, and the fertilizer has been, you know, down for 5 or 6 weeks. Then it's usable to the tree.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
Well, thank you for the call.
I'll keep you posted how it goes.
Okay, good.
thank you. Have a good day.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All righty. Can't kill a plum tree, huh?
Yeah, no, you can't. I've tried. In my old house in Roseburg, the folks that owned it for 40 or more years,
yeah,
planted, I don't know if they planted it or, you know, somebody spit a plum seed out there or something,
yeah.
But there was this plum tree, right next to the sidewalk, entering the front door. And the tree hung over the front porch. It hung over the roof of the house. And it grew crookedly because it was trying to escape the sidewalk, and it couldn't. So it was the ugliest stinking tree you saw.
Oh,
yes. But I left it. I thought, well, back in those days, I was going to Umpqua College and, you know, working part-time and all that. So I just kind of left it and let it go. And then one year I had the time, I cut that puppy down and poisoned the stump and get rid of it.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I didn't want that thing. I mean, because when it was blooming, there was about 2 million bees in there trying to pollinate it.
Yep.
And
yep.
You had to walk within 2 feet of all those branches to get onto my front porch to the get to the front door. And my wife had a problem with that. And when the bees attack you as you're going in the front door, it's not good.
Not good, no.
And then in the summer and fall when there was fruit on it, and it bared a ton of fruit. I mean, you could fill a pickup truck with the fruit. And there were good plums.
Was it?
Yeah.
I was going to ask you,
were
they
very
good?
Kind of purple, dark purple, very, very sweet. I mean, really good. So when that was happening, and then the yellow jackets attacked it.
Sure.
And, you know, the honeybees had already retired, gone south or something. And then the yellow jackets said, ha ha, watch this. And as they dropped on the ground all over the place, there'd be hordes of yellow jackets, and they're ready to attack any human that dared come within 5 feet of them.
So. You ever step on one of those?
Oh, no, but I've had them. I've been bit by them before.
Oh.
One time I was looking at a little small plant behind my retaining wall. This is just a few years ago. And I've got some bonsai back there, and I'm looking at it, and my face was right down toward the plant, maybe a foot off the ground.
Yeah.
And a yellow jacket came out of the ground and bit me on the lip.
Oh,
yeah.
Ow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, big time.
But rest assured, I smashed that sucker flat.
Good.
Ran in the house and got some baking soda, whipped up some baking soda and smeared my lips, but they still swelled up a little bit, and I looked like I was a clown for a while. But,
that does work. Mom always used baking soda, too.
Oh, yeah. It does. Yeah. Draws that poison right out.
Yeah.
So, but it didn't stop too much of the pain. And it was hard to eat.
Oh, I'll bet. It's like no teeth.
Yeah. Help. I don't know. Oh, gosh. Anyway, we're talking about pruning fruit trees here. And forget the yellow jackets. But, you know, if you got a big old plum tree, you might want to eliminate it. But it's not right next to your front porch. It's not good. Now, but once you start your pruning process, maybe you've never pruned before and you're thinking about it. Okay, you get it done. You do it yourself. You hire it out, however you want to do it. But once you've done this, you want to stay with it every year. Don't let it go for another 2-3 years and become a mess again, full of a lot of ancillary branches and stuff like that. Because if you let it go for a couple of years,
You're in trouble.
Yeah, you got a tree full of non-productive branches again.
Yeah.
What's the point, you know? And then it's a major job to get the tree back into production, so stay with it every year. And if you stay with it every year, guess what? It doesn't take all that time. It's a lot shorter work day for you.
Yeah, but that's what we like.
Yes. And keep your fruit trees growing horizontally rather than up. You know, that way when they're horizontal, the sun can reach in and ripen the fruit evenly. All the upright branches with about a jillion leaves on them, they'll shade the fruit, and the ripening process is not equal throughout the tree. Some will be on the edge of the tree where the sunlight can get to it. They'll be ready to go. But those that are on the inner part of the tree, they're not getting the sunlight, and so they're about half done, if you will.
Yeah.
And then you kind of maybe forget about them or whatever, and then most of those kind of fall onto the ground because of they're not doing the thing. They're not doing the thing that they're supposed to do. So keep them horizontal. Spread the branches out. That way the sunlight can penetrate, and don't have a lot of branches. You know, just a few branches is good, and that's all you need to do.
Can I tell you a story about my dad?
Well, tell your dad's story, yes.
Yeah. Well, it was like 3 or 4 years after they moved into their house there in Sutherland, had two apple trees. Dad had a friend come over and prune them.
Yeah.
So he's out there telling the guy what to do, blah, 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 blah. Uh-huh. Well, the friend had enough of Dad telling him what to do. So he comes out of that tree, slams down the pruning shears, tells Dad where to put it.
Back in the shed, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and it leaves. So Dad's still angry. He gets the axe out of the garage and chops the tree down.
Oh, good. Well, that's a pruning job.
That's a true killer of it.
Your dad had an anger problem?
Oh, absolutely. I was on the receiving end a few times.
Well, make sure he didn't have an axe when he received. Oh, gosh.
Oh, we got a phone call.
Okay, phone call. Another phone call. It's a good day. We have third one.
Yeah, let's keep it going. Hey, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
What a giggly man, I'll tell you. Hi, Mike. Hi, Dale. This is John.
Hi.
Hi.
That woman with the plum tree made my mouth water so bad. I love the plums. I've got two old plums from out in Melrose. Went back when the old prune orchards were going.
Uh-huh.
And what I've done, Mike, is the thing broke off. It just kind of finally rotted off and tipped over. And what I did was I mounted soil across the trunk in five different places. It was about a 20-foot tall tree, and I went ahead and mounted soil on it because I knew it wouldn't kill it and it wouldn't girdle it unless I put it on a graft or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I now have five full-size plum trees that came from that.
Oh yeah, it's doable, John. It's doable. I know what you mean.
Well, and so now it's time to say thank you, Mike, and his precious wife. My friend came down and bought during your sale two of those colored maples that are so pretty, two different colors.
Good.
And you remember I had talked to you about what I was hoping to do with some of those colored maples up on my upper property. And
uh-huh.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to do the same thing I did with the plum tree, and I may lose it because these are grafted trees.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave the graft open and clear, and I'm going to plant the tree sideways. And am I crazy enough for you?
Well, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens, John.
Well, I'm just here to tell you it may kill it, and I do know that.
Okay, well, it's not guaranteed if you kill it, buddy.
Well, of course not. Of course not. Well, I mean, listen, I'm kind of confessing in front of a couple of witnesses, you know.
Yeah, we've written all this down, too.
That's right. We have it on tape.
Yeah, we have it on tape, yeah.
The way I was going to do it is I was going to dig if it's about a 3-inch trunk, which is what they are,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to put it in a 6-inch trench. Lay it sideways, the root will be, and then as I taper down, I'm going to put it deeper and deeper in a taper down into the root hole. And then I was going to try to bend the root wad, and I was going to put a mound over the root wad to make sure to cover the roots good. And that's what I'm going to do. What do you think?
Well, it may work, and what you want to make sure of is that next year you call me back and tell me how good it went.
Oh, I'm willing to confess my sins to you and all. Hey, humans are not the smartest things on earth. We just think we are.
I know. Tigers are.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. Anyway, I appreciate it. But you, I'm telling you this because you and your bonsai inspired me to think about. I've been thinking about putting a tree on its side for 40 years.
Yeah.
And I'm finally did it.
Well, I got a confession to make, John. I've done that for a lot of years, and it works.
Well,
oh,
yeah.
There you go.
Does it produce a number of stems on the?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
On the tip over?
Oh yeah. Depends on the type of tree, but yeah, for the most part, it works.
And I may have been seeing some of your trees from your landscaping, I've seen it out in the woods, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do. Tree will fall down and resprout and come up from the stem and become a new tree.
I just was trying to stretch myself by going for a grafted tree, and I love your colored maples. They're just so beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to have our hillsides just covered with them.
Well, every year you should plant about 10 or 20, buddy.
Oh. Well, as it turns out, if I don't kill it off with this one, and I don't, you know, I don't need to have this one succeed to still do what you're talking about, because I'd like to become your junior Johnny Mapleseed.
I'll keep that in mind.
Thanks so much, you guys. You really bring joy to my heart.
Okay. Well, thank you for the call, John. Bye-bye. Yes,
bye-bye. All righty. We'll be right back in a couple. News Radio 1240 KQEN with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show right here.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we are back. Is the sun still out?
Well, the sun's always out.
Oh, that's true. It's just on the other side.
It's on the other side of the earth, or, it's hiding from in the fog or something, but it's always out.
It's so, always out. Yeah. So is the moon.
Yeah, true. Absolutely true. And the stars.
That's true. You just can't see it when the sun is out.
That's right. What a bummer. But anyway, hey, I've had 3 phone calls today. Thank you very much. It's always fun to talk to folks out there who are listening to the show. And I've been talking about pruning the shrubs and the trees and all that kind of stuff. But remember this. When you prune your shrubs or trees, it's healthy for the plant. It gives them more vigor, if you will, in the spring. Heavy branched shrubs or trees make perfect conditions for disease, bugs, those kinds of things. And they like to make a home and in a thick evergreen like arborvitae, those evergreens that people plant for screens that go straight up and down. Well, they usually plant them too close because they're small when they plant them, and then when they're 10 years old, they're touching. And that's when the bugs really get in there, or fungus or whatever gets in there and begins to destroy your tree. So it's always good to keep things pruned, keep the air circulation going, keep some sunshine moving around in your garden, and you have healthier stuff. And we're always going to have bugs, and we're going to always have disease, but let's not make it easy for them to damage your landscape.
Let's don't accommodate them.
Yeah, don't accommodate them. Don't give them a home, for crying out loud. And instead of pruning, try spraying. I mean, instead of spraying, try pruning. Good, I got that one backwards. It sounded like somebody on TV there.
Oh, now.
Yeah, I didn't say the name. But sometimes spraying for insects or disease is needed. But on a properly pruned tree or shrub, it's not as often because you have that air circulation and the light penetration from the sun. And if you want to know, if you want to learn how to prune and you've never done it before, you can take on a small project in your yard. Just pick out maybe one tree or a couple of shrubs and be creative and see what happens. And if the result is good, then you expand your pruning technique to the entire yard. And soon, when your yard looks like a super garden, your neighbors are going to want lessons or to hire you to do their pruning as well. So, it works out for you in the long run. Proper pruning is not just cutting off a lot of branches. You just don't go, wow, whack, 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 and you cut nothing left. Pruning can be functional or artistic. Ooh. Functional, like on fruit trees or, taking dead stuff out or anything like that. But the functional part is to keep the shrubs or the trees from overgrowing and blocking, say, sidewalks, shrubs that are climbing up the wall of your home, for instance, or shrubs that are covering your windows and blocking your view, and you can't see because you let the shrubs, grow so much and you didn't prune anything. And then there's the end of the driveway where you planted a couple of wild shrubs, And now you got to nose out there into the street to see if there's any cars coming either way before you actually pull out in the street. Prune them puppies. Get them down to where it's not dangerous, and you know, make them look better all at the same time.
When in doubt, burn them.
No, don't burn them. That's not pruning. That's destruction. But you know, for safety reasons, that's the kind of thing you want to do. And it's good to, like I say, anything that's growing up along the side of the house, if it's too close to the house, it's going to damage the paint. It's, you know, and then when you go to paint it, you're going to have to cut them down or peel them back anyway to get the thing painted. So if you keep them pruned, you know, year after year after year, any of your house maintenance is a whole lot easier to do, and you don't lose your shrubs at the same time. You know, like I say, oftentimes, and I've said this 100,000 times, oftentimes small trees are planted too close to the house. You know, it's a small, it's only 7 feet, and you buy it, and you go, oh, gee whiz, this is nice. Let's plant it next to the garage, or let's plant it right here next to the house. It'll be fine. And I've seen hundreds of these in my professional life. And when they get up above the roof, you know, they drop their leaves, and can cause damage to the roof. Or plug your gutters so that the rain doesn't run out and backs up and does damage to your siding, for instance. Mm-hmm. Limbs can break during heavy snow and put a hole in the roof. I know from experience that happened to me in Snowmageddon. But the tree wasn't close to the house. It was a 50-foot Doug fir that was about 30 feet from the house when the snow knocked it down and hit our bedroom roof. And that's quite a way to wake up at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
morning.
Wake up time.
Yeah, wake up. Boom. Who's bombing
us? That must have scared the holy you-know-what out of you.
Yeah, they did. So there was an extensive repair bill, $1,500 worth of repair real quick. But you have several choices. You can prune heavy or remove the potential damage that may happen. And I see this, you can drive all over the neighborhoods in Roseburg or any town and see the trees that folks planted 10 or 15 or 20 years ago for shade. Yeah. They've grown very, very well, and a third of one side of the tree is growing over the roof. Well, imagine if one of those major limbs that's growing over the roof breaks off because of snow or wind or something like that. You're going to have some roof damage. And you know that your gutters are full of leaves. And if you don't clean your gutters each year, you're going to have major damage done to your siding or the water just, you know, comes out all over the place. And the gutters are, with that much weight, the water that's running out is one thing. But if the water is accumulating in those gutters, there's so much weight that the gutters could break and fall down. And then you've got a multiple expense in putting new gutters back on, plus removing some of those branches or removing the tree. So that's why this pruning stuff is good. It's good for the tree. It's good for your home. It's good for your peace of mind. You know, that way you're not looking at a big expense from damage, and that's the way that goes. Now you have several choices. You can prune heavy or remove the potential damage, and that's why the tree branches are bare when you inspect them. You can actually see the structure of the branch. You can actually see, you know, is that really hanging over the roof? Is how large is the diameter? If it's a 6-inch diameter or 8-inch diameter stem, the potential is very likely that when it breaks, it could do damage, and that's the kind of thing you may want to remove. Or it might be in such a place that, like I say, when it was small, it was great for the first 10 years, but now it's been in there 25 years, and there's real potential for damage. You might have to have it removed. And I know how people feel about removing trees, and, oh, I don't want to get rid of that tree. I've had it. My grandfather planted it. Well, your grandpa didn't envision that tree getting 40 feet tall, and that's the thing. Now, that's the practical side of pruning. Now, the artistic type of pruning takes some imagination and a lot of practice. You know, when you want to say bonsai something, another dwarf it and keep it small so it looks very, very old and ancient. That's one type of artistic pruning, and it takes a few years to learn. You need to educate yourself or learn from someone who does bonsai, like I do bonsai. I've got about 40 or 50 of them over the years, and but you can, it's prune shrubs that are existing in your yard, not to be bonsai, but to give them an exotic appearance, like junipers. You know, some people plant junipers, and you know, they're small when they put them in. They put them, you know, 8 feet apart or something like that. And within 10 years, there's just a big glob of juniper. You can't tell it's green or gold or gray or whatever color the juniper was. But it starts to compete with its neighbor, and you start to see dead branches and things like that. Well, that's the time to get up there and start thinning out and eliminating some of those branches so you can actually see the structure of the plant. And it's much more attractive in the landscape when you do that. And it does take some practice. It does take, you're going to make mistakes. That's okay. They'll grow back. But if you go lightly and step back and take a look at it, read a book, talk to somebody who's done it, see a neighbor down the street who's already done it to his yard, and say, how do I do this? What's the proper way of doing it? Or call a professional, call me, call some other landscaper, whatever, and pay a consultation fee or something like that to have them come over and demonstrate what you can do to a particular shrub. And I picked on junipers simply because they seem to be the most prevalent kind of shrub that gets way too big and too small of a space, and then begins to die because it's too crowded. And you just want to open it up. Again, air circulation, sunlight, etc. You take the dead stuff out, you shorten the life stuff, the light, the stuff, and then thin, maybe like I say, 30 to 50% of the branches, thin them out so you can see the stem. I've got a friend, I've told him to do this thing, and he kind of whacked back the tops and said, what do you think? I said, you didn't do enough, bub. do we have a call?
We have a break.
Oh, a break. Okay, you had your finger on the trigger there. I wasn't sure.
There we go.
Okay.
All right.
We'll be back.
Absolutely. 7 minutes before news time on the top of the hour at 5, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back for a couple of minutes or so, 4 or 5 or whatever, on the Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show.
Yeah, well, there's a clock right there, you know.
Yeah.
It tells the time.
It looks like about 4 minutes.
You don't have to guess. I'm talking about artistic pruning, you know, to make a plant that was just a glob of branches into something that was unique and different and eye-catching, that kind of thing. And, you know, and your choice with a juniper patch or something, you either remove half of them or prune them and make them look good. And that's not just chopping them back and all that, but it's pruning for style and character. You want to give them some pizzazz, okay? Imagine what the end result will be, you know, before you start. You got to kind of get a picture in your mind of the end result and say, well, this is what I want to create. And look at it you might take a week or two looking at it before you finally say, I know how to do that now. This is what I'm going to do. And start off lightly. Don't try to do the whole thing all in one fell swoop if you've never done it before. Do it and stand back, take a look at it, and maybe for another day or two, maybe do a little bit more. And then after a while, you get the hang of it, and you'll see, hey, yeah, I created something that's really cool. I think I'll do that to the rest of them over a period of time. And like with a juniper or like a dwarf mugo pine, you can remove like 50% of the branches to open up the plant. Open it up. Make it so you can see the branching structure. And actually you can do this with any plant, but those two really lend themselves to that. And then you kind of maybe prune back the ends of some of the branches that are too long, and you just create a whole new look. And this is also, again, going to improve the health of the plant by removing foliage where, say, fungus, bugs, disease, whatever, wherever they live, and because you're, again, allowing air circulation and sunlight to circulate through the plant, and they don't like that. They don't like the breeze, and they don't like the sun. They want it dark, shady, and damp. And then, you prune any broken or dead branches first. I mean, if a branch looks kind of sickly, hey, no hesitation. Prune that puppy right out of there. And you're also, in doing this, you're controlling and directing future growth. Mm-hmm. And by careful cutting. You say, well, this is what it's going to look like this year, and I won't have to do as much work next year if I stay on top of it, keep with it. And after that initial hard pruning, it's a much easier job keeping it the way you want. That's really important. I've pruned a lot of overgrown shrubs, that people call me up and say, oh my gosh, my yard looks like a jungle. I can't, this, and this. And I get there and yeah, they were right. It's a jungle. And I explain the process to them. And I say, well, this is what we can do now. And it's going to look a whole lot different when we're done. And I want you to be aware of that before we even start, because like 50% of the branches or so will be missing. We will open it up. We're going to make it look different. And they said, yeah, go ahead, do it. and we just kind of get in there and make it look like something. Make it look like some specimen in a park or something like that.
Nice.
And then when they see the end result, they're always pleased. I've never had anybody complain, oh, you took too much off, or it's too small, or it's too this or too that.
Yeah.
Everybody that we've ever done work for appreciates how their plants look, and they always call us back the next year to do some more.
Well, that's cool.
Are we done?
We are done.
Well, I'm not done with my notes, man. I got pages yet.
Save them for next week.
Okay, listen next week for the conclusion of the pruning.
Part two of part one.
Oh, part six.
All righty. The Afternoon Report is next on News Radio 1240 KQAN.